This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora tātou and welcome along to Aratoi On Air with your hosts Sean Norling, Amy Tawa and new kid on the block, Nick Tipa. This is our final show for 2025.
It is.
What a heck of a roller coaster it's been, Amy Tawa. Every fortnight we've had that opportunity to kind of engage with our creative communities and have these really lovely conversations about the way in which people operate creatively, what their creative practice looks like, the funny things, the challenging things. Privileged to be bringing this kōrero to the listeners and to have these conversations with these creative practitioners in Ōtepoti, Dunedin. My name's Sean Norling. I'm a creative advisor at Aratoi Creative Partnerships at the DCC. It's a funny job, but by and large, I'm so blessed to be doing it because it keeps me creatively engaged and gives me like a sneak peek into the things happening on the horizon that I wouldn't know otherwise, projects or community projects, things happening within creative organizations that are really exciting to get the kind of scoop on. And that's what I love about my job. Can you describe what being a creative advisor means to you, Amy Tawa?
It's a huge privilege to work alongside the community, provide resources, elevate local stories, and demystify what it means to be a creative in 2025 in Ōtepoti. It's a huge responsibility, and it's not one that we collectively take lightly, but it is something that we enjoy and we work hard at and advocate for quite a lot in different spaces and on different platforms, and it's been a privilege to do that on air.
Nick Tipa, you're the new kid on the block. I'm not the baby anymore. And give me that kind of, tell me why you thought this would be something that you would love to do.
Well, I saw the job description pop up really late in the piece, but reading through it, I just thought, wow, community focused, getting to work with artists and arts organizations, and getting to use some of the relationships that I've had the privilege to be a part of over the years, getting to use those to hopefully benefit the community as a whole. I thought, wow, this actually feels really meaningful, or feels like it could be really meaningful. And I think that's what kind of hooked me in, was like, I can help, try and help other people. That feels really good. Because a lot of my practice has been very much, as of late, very much like I'm making art. I'm being artist boy, make art. And that's very rewarding in its own way. But I think, you know, we don't exist without the community. None of us exist without the community. So
I think it's a bit of a common thread between the three of us, eh? That we actually, absolutely. I mean, not to, I don't want to kind of inflate ourselves too much, but you start to realize along the way at some point, if you're a creative practitioner or involved in that world, the meaningfulness and the importance of having other people on that journey to the ability to kind of work collaboratively, to uffy other people up, and to just kind of involve yourselves in creative communities rather in that siloed isolation that creatives find themselves in a lot of the time, especially when they're starting out.
Yeah, and particularly when their art form is quite a solo practice, I think it can be really easy to become siloed just by nature of it. I think, and you'll probably both experience this as well, working across different disciplines, working with different communities. I think in the past I've quite often been like, man, these people are really cool. These people are really cool. It'd be great if they did a project together, or it'd be great if you just met each other so the potential of something could arise from that. And I think that's the other thing that I'm really excited about getting to be in this role. It's like, oh, cool, I'll get the opportunity to bring some of those people together and formal and informal settings. So.
Oh, that's so cool, Nick. And it's a really cool part of that job of knowing how to kind of connect the dots in a lot of ways, isn't it? Knowing a lot about lots of little things and connecting those dots on a creative level. So cool. So this is Aratoi On Air. It's our final show for the year. Boo.
Sad.
But we'll make it festive. It's not necessarily a Christmas theme, but I'm sure someone will have the eggnog ready for us after this.
Sure.
There is lots of stuff kind of it is the final show, but there's lots of stuff still kind of happening in and around Ōtiputi to keep people entertained and up with things. I thought I'd just kind of rattle off some of the stuff happening in our civic institutions, Tūhuda.
Please do.
Toitū Otago Settlers Museum and the Dunedin Public Art Gallery. So, hey, you've been to Pajama Rama before, eh?
I'm a regular.
Can you, that's happening on the 19th of December at Tūhuda. It's happening between 6 and 8 p.m. Do you just rock up in your pajamas and play disco music? What's the vibe?
Essentially, that is what it is. It's about having a jolly good time and preparing for the round man to come down the chimney.
Wow.
I love the round man.
Yeah, I love the round man. too. The Waitati Warblers are jumping into Tūhuda on the 13th of December at 2 p.m. And there's quite a cool program of music happening in Otago Museum. Across throughout December as well.
Both museums have got quite a few groups and choirs coming in to perform different Christmas-themed songs.
Yeah, Cantori's choir is in there, the City Choir is in there on the 20th of December, and the Dunedin Harmony Christmas performance happens on the 21st of December from 12:30 p.m. So heaps of cool stuff.
Is that all at Tūhuru?
Yeah.
Tūhuda. And there's some stuff at Toitū Early Settlers as well, and a lot of it's free. All of it's free.
Yeah, by and large it's free.
Which is great.
Mm. So great. And then we jump down to Toitū Settlers Museum, and they're doing things like faux stained glass bookmark workshops.
So
and
cool.
Let's face it, we all need that.
There's not enough in the world.
They've got a bit of music happening as well. Bowie's Enema is playing festive foyer music on the 13th of December. Speaking of the round man basically is living at Toitū throughout December. So if you want to, you know, pop down and see
have
the round man.
Chat,
yeah.
Bring your little list. Yep. And rectify some wrongs of 2025. Head down to Toitū Early Settlers Museum.
Okay, here. Whereabouts in the museum is he living, do you know?
I think he's just kind of hanging out in the foyer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Someone should
call
security about that or something.
Santa. Yeah. A Christmas silhouette workshop at Toitū as well. I think I'm not sure what the silhouettes are. I think it's a portrait kind of silhouette that you put on a ribbon thing. So lots of kind of nifty crafting activities. They do have music. Choir is performing in the foyer as well.
Pants on fire.
There's choir pants on fire, and there's a quilted star workshop, and I know you're all about it, Nick, so I'll see you there.
Cannot
Let's make
wait.
It a date.
My dad, sewing machine technician, so I love a bit of quilting. It's in the
I
blood.
Do too. Yeah. I do too. Yeah. Beautiful. And Pixies and Tinkertown and all that stuff kind of happens at Toitū, so... Really wonderful thing. Stocking decoration, there's one for you, Amy, on the 21st.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. And the Pōhō Pugs Ukulele Group Festive Foyer Music on the 21st of December. The Pōhō Pugs Ukulele Group sounds pretty lit.
That sounds awesome.
They're from the peninsula, yeah?
You know these really? People.
Yeah, yeah. I don't shout know them personally, but shout out Pōhō to them. Pugs. I think they have pretty regular weekly programming where they just strum along and...
The well-rehearsed
and A-grade
ukulele
great.
Action. And then at our wonderful public art gallery, Dunedin Public Art Gallery, they have Tours for Tots and block print gift wrapping with pretty renowned local artists Kyla Creswell and Kate Watts. The Dunedin Rock Choir. Nick, are you in that?
I wish. They won't let me in. I think my mum sung in it. It's all about my parents today, apparently.
Wow.
I think she's told me about the Dunedin Rock Choir before, and I think she went along for a bit and really enjoyed herself.
That's
just
really
got
cool.
busy, though, you know?
Yeah. They're down there on the 20th of December.
Amazing.
And, there are things happening. Check out all three websites. They for those three institutions, otagomuseum.nz for museum gigs, toituosm.com for what's happening down at the Settlers Museum, and net.nz, I think.
Cool.
.co.nz, I think.
I have a question.
Yeah, go Nick.
Have the rock choir ever done a collab with the rock tenors? Because I would think that would be a good pairing.
It would be powerful. It would be like two universes colliding and basically like a black hole.
Like Marvel and Frozen or something.
Oh my gosh. Maybe
tear the fabric of the universe.
Rock tenors might have already done that at one of their concerts, I guess. Pulled the rock choir along. But I feel like that would be a cool thing to incorporate together, you know?
Yeah, hey, we've been talking for a bit, so we'll drop a song in now. One of our tasks before putting the show to air was to kind of pick a favourite song each. So this one comes from the wonderful Amy Tawa. It's by a local band called Marlon's Dreaming. From their album Lizard Tears, which came out in 2017. What's the name of the song, Amy?
Cheeky Kids.
Let's get it.
Pink faces and snow white beds, flying cab dots light as it goes, spilled Pinot way on my carpet. Oh,
Otago Access Radio 105.4 FM. You're tuned into Aratoi On Air with your hosts Nick Tipa, Amy Tawa, and myself, Sean Norling. It's our final show for the year, and we're just kind of reflecting a little bit. Reflecting on the show in a lot of ways, I think. What a wonderful opportunity to come in and, you know, literally broadcast what's happening within the creative community of Otiputi. I want to do a shout out to the team at Otago Access Radio, the wonderful Leslie Paris, Jeff Harford, Dommy and Jeff Barkman as well. Each and every single one of them are absolute legends and goats in the game.
Absolutely. We love them all.
Aren't they?
And they're really patient.
They've been so patient.
Yeah.
Been so patient.
Really, really kind.
Like, we were
well.
Literally delivering podcasts on the day of or the night before, and, you know, no one ever told me off.
Not really.
That's so kind.
But you learned, and we eventually got into a place where we had a bit of a rhythm. But, yeah, the team here has been really, really wonderful. Really kind, and it was actually a real joy to go to the Otago Access Radio.
Wasn't that lovely?
Awards, yeah, just to see the breadth of programming that they have here, and really illustrated the value that they bring.
Massive community. You know, you want to talk about creative communities, look no further than Otago Access Radio and everyone that does, you know, commits their time and their energy to kind of promote the larger thing happening around them. It's such a wonderful kaupapa at this radio station. You're very statistically driven and robust, and so you've got some numbers for us, or some factoids, don't you?
Just a few. So, and just reviewing 2025 and Aratoi On Air, we have spoken to 23 arts practitioners and facilitators,
nice.
Music and noisemakers, community arts advocates, teachers and designers. We've clocked 15 episodes this year with a total of approximately 366 minutes of yarns, advice, stories and experiences. Theatre, noise experimentation, literature, visual and object art, music and textile art was among the creative disciplines represented on Aratoi On Air throughout our kōrero, which highlighted the diverse and extremely talented community we have here in Otiputi. It was wonderful to hear from a range of people at different points in their creative practice as well, from emerging right through to established practitioners speaking on the show. Aratoi On Air provided an insight into who make up our local creative community. So just in thinking about reflecting on all those episodes, all that kōrero, what are some of the highlights for you, Sean?
It's the people, really. It's I knew of a bunch of people before I talked to them, but to kind of sit down face to face and kind of develop a relationship in real time and to kind of work out what makes them tick has been really inspiring for me. Hey, Nick, I remember interviewing you around your writing residency and just your performing arts practice in general, and that was a wonderful, you know, we talked about Stephen King and kayfabe and all sorts of things during that conversation, if you remember.
I do.
It's on podcast.
Yeah, I have listened to it actually, yeah. Because I'm massively egotistical. And you edited it really well. I remember being concerned coming off the back of that interview that I would sound like someone I wouldn't want to spend time with. And
this is why we pre-record, Nick.
Amazing. But it's not what we're doing right now, because off the cuff is good as well. It's good. But no, it was actually sometimes also nice to reflect, I think, as an artist or a practitioner on the work that you've done. And I think a slightly longer form interview like that can be really useful for instigating some reflection on practice.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
That's such a good point. And we kind of came into the show with a plan to do fairly, I did anyway, of executing kind of 5 to 10 minute interviews, and then quickly realized that actually to have a decent kōrero with our guests and with the community, that required a deeper chat. That required more time. And so over the course of time, I saw our conversations turn into 10, 15, 20-minute conversations. And I think that's, you know, I think at the day and age of kind of scratch and win social media and 15-second clips on TikTok, it's really nice to still be providing a format that allows the end listener to actually sit back and kind of concertedly absorb really nice stories and conversations in that longer format.
It's also a really lovely, simple, easy way to tautoko our community in a way that they don't have to really do much. They just need to have a bit of time. And we were really flexible with how we reached out to the people that we spoke to and worked into their schedule. And then I was actually quite selfish because I got to ask some of the questions that I've always been curious about from people like Peter Porteous and Stacey Kokawa Balfour that probably aren't necessarily immediately relevant to funding conversations or building capability. So it was actually a really nice opportunity to be like, hey, you're great. And these are the things that you've done. And that was wonderful. And this is how you contributed and contributed to the wider ecosystem, but also to the story of Wātiputi. So it kind of gave us a unique angle and also allowed us to continue to build the rapport with the people who make Wātiputi great, some of them.
But also just to kind of sit down with local legends, like I'm thinking back to the first interview I did for the series with Jones Chin, sitting in the Crown, kind of like midday-ish on a weekday, sipping on a cup of tea and talking about the types of tea that Jones likes to drink and the state of providing vegan food for performers coming through and him walking the dog. All of these things, it's wonderful to have. They seem trivial at the time, but they're actually really wonderful and really add to the kind of colour and the feeling that those conversations are trying to convey, which is one of connectedness. And there's something really cute that happened through the course of those conversations, I think, where you just felt more attached.
You're kind of also just building on what people know about these creatives and arts facilitators. They're not just facilitating music or making art or creating theatre. They're also parents and dog owners and cat owners, and they love nature. And it's just sort of expanding the other reasons why they've chosen Wātiputi to be the place where they create and put roots down and contribute.
So cool. You were more strategic than me and approached the series with better prepared as per, but like with a really good through line in this interviews that you did, basically asking, as you said earlier, your interviewees words of advice for new emerging, re-emerging creative practitioners in Wātiputi Dunedin. I'm going to play out a collage of some of those pieces now.
Look, punk's always recruiting. We'll take you.
Find your people. Find your people. They're there and always willing to help.
Make bad stuff. Yeah. Don't think about what you're making until you find something that you hold on to and hyper-focus on and really enjoy. Just get your stuff out and don't think about it. Just do it for yourself. That's how I always get over my creative blockage.
I think just in terms of your own art practice, just sort of just to continue moving forward. I think I'm like someone who maybe am searching for like an end point, or I sort of for ages I didn't think about my whole life as being like my creative journey. It was like I was trying to get somewhere and then getting frustrated that I don't have the time to do it now. But I guess just knowing that I can like chip away at it, and if I don't have time to do it this year, then maybe, you know, next year or the year after there'll be more time.
Don't be afraid, just do it. You have nothing to lose. Well, maybe a bit of ego, but oh well, who cares about ego? Just do it. Just do it. Just do it.
Just like to have the audacity and to really back your storytelling. I submitted to a journal when I was a teenager, and I was mourning the loss of someone that I really cared about, and didn't think anything of it, but was really lucky to have someone. I think one of the youth workers that was in our community back me, and encourage me to submit and even tell me about styling in the first place, right? All the creative opportunities that I've had the blessing to be a part of or to be involved with have come from having support to see them. But eventually it also just came from having the audacity to apply for things. But yeah, knowing what is out there to apply for is a whole other thing that I think there needs to be a separate conversation about. Yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah, do it. Manage your energy as well.
Yeah, don't be scared to reach out to people, even if you like might be a bit intimidated by them. Just, you may as well try. The worst thing that can happen is like they don't reply. Be brave.
Be brave, yeah. Be brave. If you're doing it, do it.
Just get the story out. Everything else will figure itself out.
Figure out what communication method works for you. Like if you are an email person, that's great. Do emails, reply to your emails. If you are a phone person, it's okay to tell people, hey, I really struggle with emails. Can you give me a call? Having a meeting is always great. Like if you are working with people on a project, I think a lot about communication and how I'm working with people. And for Māori artists, study at Te Wānanga Aotearoa if you are an Osiputi. It's a great time.
So that was a whole bunch of really, really useful and thoughtful and interesting feedback from Jörg from Dance Happy Doom Crew. Lalofi, so Lisa Blakey, who is part of Artify Interactive, who are launching their game this week. Toroa, check it out. Phoebe Ryder, Piu Piu Ture, Ruby Markoma, Alex and Craig of Syrup Boys, Stacey Kokaua Balfour, and the beautiful Maya Morrison Middleton.
Wonderful. Almost brought a tear to my eye. Excellent advice coming from those people. Holy heckamoly, time flies when you're doing shows live. And so it's basically time for us to kind of wrap this up. We do have things on the horizon for 2026, though. Give me that kind of elevator pitch, 1-2 punch of what people can expect us to be doing early 2026.
Okay, you're well rested, you're feeling good, you're wanting to engage, you want to make art, you want to do projects. In February, we'll be doing our sort of biannual puti for your project, where we'll be open all day from about 11 till 4. Come and have a chat. It'll be at the Community Gallery. Dates to come. March will be at Moana Nui Festival and South Dunedin Street Festival. Come have a chat. We'll probably have a really cool activity for you to do, and we might ask you some questions. And then what else is there, Sean?
Oh, so many things. I mean, we're always available to always. We're all kind of working on our own projects at the moment and all trying really hard to kind of uplift the creative scene in Dunedin. There's funding rounds. There's like a cool music compilation project that we've all been working on that will see the light of day in May 2026 in time for New Zealand Music Month, New Zealand Music Week. Yeah, lots of exciting things. But really, you know, always got time to kind of meet with new people, hear what you're getting up to creatively, and help you find ways to uplift that work. That's what we love to do at Creative Partnerships.
Quick plug, there will be a funding round in the first half of the year as well. So we will be plugging that on all formats, platforms. Come have a chat if you've got an idea.
Lovely. It's time for us to say goodbye. It's very sad. I'm gonna give you the last song choice, Mr. Teeper, and it's
amazing.
It's from an amazing compilation that came out. Well, I'm not sure if it was released on an album at the time. I think maybe the albums were removed at some point in time.
I think so. Yeah,
one of those kind of.
I believe another one of their songs, Cosmonaut, was also on that album.
Yeah. It's funny, eh, how music vanishes online sometimes.
Yeah.
That's why you should release records and cassettes. But this one, I managed to kind of dig it out from a compilation called Nature's Worst Volume 3, which is this amazing compilation, the third one in a series that came out in 2012. The band is called
Brown.
I think they went on to be
Harvey Unclear.
Yeah, Eliza and Lizard between that too.
Oh,
right?
Separate band.
There was a
separate band. Yeah, Brown is Michael Cathro's brainchild. Whereas Eliza and Lizard was Paul's songwriting outlet.
Yeah. Some little bits of crossover there. Yeah,
definitely.
And Harvey Unclear. Yeah, that's right. So the song is called Our Love. It's like a David Bain jersey. Shall we play it? Okay, let's play that one. Ka kite, everybody, and we'll see you again. See you again in 2026.
Oh, the colors of the rainbow. You wear the pants and knit our jersey too. Yeah, the mood is up to you. Yeah, we've tried to down our elbows, but we just hug on opposite hours. You choose the colour of the wool. I decide on a ply. We've tried to darn our elbows, but we just hug on opposite hours.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.